Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Wow, the week's almost over. And I know it's Halloween, so people are out doing their Halloween thing. So whatever you're doing, be safe out there. We have a great show. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here in Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on American Voice Radio. And, October just vanished, didn't it? Magically, huh? And so we've got November tomorrow. Goodness. Don't forget, coming up on the 19th, we're going to have Dr. Carly here with us. And also, John Monroe is going to be back with us on the 14th. And he's our vision expert. So if you're into improving your vision, you definitely want to tune in for that show. He has some natural ways to do that. Well, we're going to be talking about some viruses that seem to cross over from animals to humans tonight and what you should be looking out for in the future, especially with regards to vaccinations. Also, we're going to be talking about, I'm getting a lot of calls about gallbladder problems, so I'm going to talk about the gallbladder thing again. And if we get time, we may touch on how to balance your pH and what you can do there. So we got lots to talk about, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi. Yeah, we're lifting our nation up in prayer. We're lifting our righteous men and women in uniform up in prayer. I'm lifting all the righteous Americans up in prayer. You know, we need righteous Americans come out of the woodwork. Stop this nonsense that we have going on in this country. I mean, what has this nation come to? Seriously. So we're going to need the Lord's help. You know, we're going to have it. Because we can't fix it by ourselves. We're in such a hole. We need the Lord's supernatural assistance. And, you know, if it's his will to help, he will do it. But it's our job to ask. So hit the knees, mind the time. It grows short. And time is never wasted when you're talking with the Lord. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, what do we got in the... bats in our belfry here. It's, you know, Halloween. But, you know, this is what we're going to talk a little bit about more tonight on. But scientists have made some troubling discoveries. A very close cousin to the SARS virus lives in bats and can likely jump directly to people. That's right. The SARS, which is your severe acute respiratory syndrome, that virus spreads pretty quickly. And back in 2003, they were worried about that severe pandemic, the World Health Organization, and they had the emergency travel advisory. And then in 2009 and 10, we had another pandemic. So bats, they say, have previously been fingered to host a lot of viruses, including SARS. This is kind of theory, this part of it. They believe that the virus jumped from a weasel-like mammal, went through a genetic change before it infected people. So it went from bats to weasels to people, but that is just theory. Now, the latest findings about all this is published in the Journal of Nature, where the SARS is caused by a germ known as the coronavirus. And no known cases have been reported, though, anywhere since 2004. But we're going to talk a little bit more about that for the first part of the show when we're talking about these viruses that seem to like to leapfrog from animals to us humans. Okay, last but not least in the Quack Report, we have some strong evidence now, clinical evidence, that spirulina, Siberian ginseng, and skullcap are what you want to use to relieve rhinoviruses, rhinitis, you know, sinus infections. Allergic sinus infections, the inflammation, usually it's the mucus that's infected, not the inflamed tissue. But the immune system response kicks up, you know, you get some histamine going, and then you've got, you know, all those symptoms, the inflammation, the stuffy nose, the sneezing, watery, itchy eyes, that kind of thing. So allergies don't have to come around every year. There is some strong evidence now in some studies that were done in Turkey and in Belgium where these natural elements that you find in spirulina help relieve a lot of the nasal inflammation. And the study is showing that the Siberian ginseng and skullcap also work together very well to relieve the allergy symptoms associated with sinus infections. So a study out of Turkey showed that spirulina, a very powerful immune-modulating superfood, their report was in the Journal of Medicine and Food in 2005, where patients that were suffering from allergic rhinitis saw a drastic improvement in their sinus function when they were eating spirulina. Now, that's your blue-green algae, of course. It's one of those natural superfoods. Now, the Siberian ginseng, little different than the American ginseng, but still very powerful with strong adaptogens. They are helpful for the body. It helps it recover, helps it deal with stress, gives it endurance. So it also stimulates the immune system. It brings more energy to the recovery phase. So this study that was done in Belgium, researchers used the Siberian ginseng with skullcap, and also they tested alternately with vitamin C. I'll get it out. And they found that the herbs work much better than the vitamin C at reducing inflammation and swelling and blockage of the sinuses, and the effects of the herbs just were very more powerful together, that synergistic effect when you use them together. So if you're looking for spirulina, ginseng, they're all on the powerherbs.com website, or just give them a call there at 866-229-3663. And that wraps the Quack Report. Thanks, Frank. I don't know, you know how that is when your brain goes faster than your tongue can kind of get it together? I don't know, I'm having that problem today. My brain's going 2,000 miles a minute and my tongue's like, you know, in fifth gear. It's not even catching up. All right, we're going to talk about leapfrog viruses, you know. Interesting concept. Scary one. You know, I guess it's appropriate for today being Halloween. The idea of infectious disease leaping from animals to humans is a kind of a new kind of threat that people are really not used to yet. But scientists don't seem to be all that surprised by this phenomenon. So over the years, I've talked about, you know, scientists researching viruses in some really strange places. Nearly 2 years ago, I'd say, there was a story that appeared about researchers investigating caves looking for bats. Now, the researchers were investigating what diseases bats carry, and in particular, they were looking for the viruses that they carry. So apparently, bats are an important source of various viruses. Now, aside from rabies, what kind of viruses would bats have and possibly transmit to other animals or even to humans? Well, we're going to find out in this segment. But the host of viruses that bats have is pretty broad, actually. According to the National Academy of Science, researchers have identified that bats can harbor and possibly transmit the following diseases: hepatitis C, Ebola, rabies, of course, the SARS virus, that's your severe acute respiratory syndrome, also known as the coronavirus, the Marburg virus, which is similar to Ebola, the Nipah zoonosis virus, which is from the fruit bat, and it causes encephalitis and acute respiratory disease. And then there's the Hendra virus, originally a horse virus that causes respiratory and neurological diseases. So according to virologist Panix Lan Quan at Columbia University, bats are a natural host for a variety of hepatitis viruses. There's approximately 83 viruses. So at this writing, though, at this time, there does not seem to be a link for these hepatitis strains to be transmitted to humans. However, it doesn't mean that the scientists won't find the genetic bridge. Well, let's look at the historical archive for a second, because according to the CDC's historical archives, the influenza A virus infects many animals, such as your ducks, pigs, whales, horses, and seals. So there are subtype influenza strains which cause widespread disease, such as the bird flu, the H1N1. So the subtype influenza can cause illness in pigs and horses. So how is it that some people in Asian countries are, you know, dying from subtype influenzas found in animals, like bird flu? Well, scientists have often explained that it is extremely difficult, if not impossible, for animal diseases to cross over and cause illness in another animal species or in humans. So how did the H1N1 bird flu, which is predominantly found in pigs, cross over into birds? And how did the subtype influenza H3N2 found in humans cross over to infect pigs? Now, a recent report informs the public that the H2N8 virus, known to infect horses, has now crossed over into dogs. How is this happening? Well, let's look at this viral bridge for a second. So how does science explain this viral expansion from one species to another? Now, we're told that these viruses can cross with direct contact with contaminated birds or pigs, and that they can be transmitted to humans. But apparently, influenza viruses have 8 gene segments that can attach to various hosts in different species. So the genome can mix to create a new subtype virus, and then it can cross over to infect another species or even humans. So this is called genetic reassortment. However, it kind of sounds man-made to me. Now, think of these virus gene segments as one big Rubik's Cube. So if science is right about how these viruses create new subtype viruses to infect a species which has little or no immunity protection against that virus, then the illness can transmit to other animals and humans, causing an outbreak. Well, what about some more information? You know, I came across a host of information on this, folks. So I kind of condensed it all down. So while I was researching the Nipah and the Hendra viruses, I came across some information that science has known about these animal viruses for some time, since the 1990s, okay? And they've become transmissible to humans. Yeah. So these viruses are classified. Are you ready for this? Science has classified these viruses as bioterror agents. Mm-hmm. So in 2005, a team of researchers at the Uniformed Sciences University of Health Science and the University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA, they were said to have discovered the receptors to these viruses. Now, their work was published July 5th, 2005, in the Proceedings of National Academy of Sciences, and they reported a human cell line that is not susceptible to the virus infection, and they also reported on 10 genes that were most susceptible to the viruses. So they found a line of human cells that were not susceptible, and then they found 8 types of genes that were most susceptible to these viruses. So then guess what they did? Well, they transinfected each individual gene into the resistant cell line, in which one of the virus cell proteins was called ephedrin B2, and it was able to corrupt the resistant cells to make them susceptible to the viral infection. So this corruption makes a broad range of species now susceptible to the viral infection, including us, the two-legged kind. So this research was also published in the July 6, 2005 online journal of Nature, and you got to ask yourself, why would they want to corrupt the natural resistance to such a deadly virus? Well, here's the scientific answer. This was what the research team, two doctors on the research team, said. Benher Lee, MD, and Christopher Broder, PhD, they said this. When they corrupted this line, they said it will be of interest to determine whether the ephedrin B2 protein serves as the virus receptor in these natural animal hosts. Aha. They're playing around, guys. They're playing around. Now, in 2005, there was not a vaccine for Nipah or Hendra viruses. However, scientists have now been testing a vaccine, which is supposedly promising. Now, I suspect they are injecting animals with these viruses and using the ephedrin B2 protein to make the animals susceptible to the disease. And, of course, then we're told that it's going to help build immunity. Yeah. Well, let's get back to this bat virus for a second. Scientists have isolated the germ called the coronavirus, the SARS virus, said to have originated with bats. Isolating the germ and then to culture the live virus and knowing which receptor the virus will bind to in human cells suggests that they know how to make this virus transmit from animals to humans without needing an intermittent host. So the research on this was reported in the Journal of Nature, October 2013. So I don't know about you, but it just looks to me that they're trying deliberately to tear down immunity. Science is tearing down immunity in animals and humans under the disguise of building protective immunity. So they are creating terrible bioterror weapons from disease. Now, as you are aware, the H1N1 bird flu pandemic of 2009-2010 was not the threat that the WHO portrayed it to be, but it did allow them to achieve acceptance to include the H1N1 bird flu and swine flu strains in the standard human influenza vaccines. So it is quite realistic that we may face another WHO pandemic in the future, which may include new viral strains from bats, horses, pigs, you know, to achieve the scientific ability to include those viruses in the flu shots. So no one likes to think that the brilliant minds of science would be involved in such an inhumane thing as to create new avenues for disease to infect and kill humans. Now, many of these viruses have a 9% or higher mortality rate, and the evidence seems to be mounting that this is exactly what is happening. So the motive behind such acts, well, it could be numerous, such as, you know, well, greed, you know, create the disease to sell you the antidote, the vaccine. Or perhaps it is to, you know, depopulate the globe. You know, Bill Gates admits the elite can control 10 to 15% of the world's population through vaccines. Or maybe it's the scientific community has just gone mad. Most likely it's all three, to be honest. So I want to mention that I know a few people who are very proactive with their health, okay? They through diet, exercise, and so forth. And as they get older, they're able to avoid the need for pharmaceutical drugs, okay? So when they, you know, when they get examined by a doctor either for a work requirement or for an injury, you know what? They're often faced with surprised or even negative attitudes from medical professionals. So if you're over 50, and you tell the nurse that you don't take blood pressure, cholesterol, or diabetic medicine, they look at you like you have horns sticking out of your head. Drug dependency has become the norm when it should be the exception. Science and medicine have lost their perspective and no longer do no harm. Okay? It's incredible. This is where we are. I know nobody likes to admit it. I don't want to think about it. But, you know, you have to stand. You have to stand on the foundations. Okay? Medicine should work to strengthen a body and to help it to function like it is designed to, and not override functions causing organs to become weak or atrophy, or to dabble with your immune system. So artificial infections with vaccines does not stimulate the proper immune response and can actually paralyze an immune system and make it so weak that the most it could do is manifest an allergic reaction. So each of us has a duty to uphold. And we have to uphold the foundations of health and protect what God gave us. So educate yourself on what natural therapies will do to empower your health, and then use them. Just don't study them. Actually implement them. Now, if you would like to know where to begin with natural therapies, the folks at Apothec Herbs can help you out. Or you could find out how, or you could use herbs to rebuild your immune system on how to cleanse and nourish the body so it can heal itself. Now, on their website, thepowerherbs.com, they have this healthy guidelines section. Just look for that, click on that, and it gives you little tips and a little education synopsis of the highlights of immune system and cleansing and storing herbs and some of the things you want to avoid, right? So it's an educational learning curve, but it's there for you to peruse and get empowered. So go to the powerherbs.com website and check that out, right? Or you could go and call their toll-free number, and you can ask for a free product catalog. That toll-free is 866-229-3663. That's toll-free 24/7, 866-229-3663. Now, if you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277, and, or the website, thepowerherbs.com, because that's where your healthcare options just became endless. Cleanse and nourish the body, build the immune system, and you got most things taken care of. Seriously. I mean, Modern medicine has its place. It's called, you know, emergency medicine triage. But for preventable health care, no. They're not going to prevent it. They're going to make sure you're sick, and they're going to make sure you're on drugs until you croak. That's it. Now, cold and flu season's here. A lot of people getting sick. Of course, they're getting the vaccine for the flu season. They're spreading the flu. But, hey, don't forget, you want to stock up on some organic whole food vitamins or immune boosters, and you can save 15% on your orders over $45. There's a coupon. I'm going to give it to you if you want to use it at the powerherbs.com website. It's THKG. It's an abbreviation for Thanksgiving. THKG13. Of course, if you subscribe to the newsletters, their newsletters are great. You get these coupons occasionally, some special discounts because you subscribe. And you can save. And the newsletters are free. So you go to the powerherbs.com website and then click on books and newsletters, and you can sign up for free. And you get empowering information every week, and you can get some special discounts on your herbal products. Also, if you're on a budget, you know, cold and flu packages are great, but if you're on a budget, check out the My Three Amigos, okay? Really great stuff at nipping things in the bud. I don't care what kind of virus it is. I don't care what kind of bacterial thing it is. Those three synergistic effect working together, those three herbs are awesome. And they're reasonably priced if you're on a budget. So My Three Amigos, just click the banner on the homepage and you can learn more about that product. So check that out. Also, if you want to really get involved with your learning curve to better health, you can order the PowerHerbs.com PowerHerbs book. It's on the PowerHerbs.com website. 400 pages. It's a PDF. It'll be emailed to you. And you can enjoy herbal secrets, how to properly cleanse, some how to make your own herbal products even is in there. So lots of great information. You don't want to miss that. It's only $14.99. So check that out, too, at thepowerherbs.com. All right, so I know we're coming up to a break here in a minute, but we're going to be talking about gallbladder disease because I have been getting some calls about that. I was talking with somebody just yesterday about they did a gallbladder flush a while back and got some gallstones out, but they totally forgot how they did it, you know? They did it a couple of years back, so they had to refresh themselves. And it's a good idea to get in a habit of once or twice a year to do your system cleanses, and that's less like brushing your teeth, right? So you don't have to go under the knife and have your gallbladder removed. You just know how to take care of it, right? It's sort of like, you know, somebody ripping the engine out of your car when you should have just been changing the oil on a regular basis, okay? Yeah, it's all about maintenance, I know. It's always something, right? But it doesn't have to be difficult, and it doesn't have to be complicated. No, it can be gentle and effective, and that's what we do at Apothecary Herbs. We are the immune system and organ cleansing specialists, so check that out, powerherbs.com. We're taking a break. We'll be right back.
My eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. Wow. From my laboratory in the castle east, wow, to the master bedroom. Vampire's peace. The ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Love, insects will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Thank you.
back here on Herb Talk Live. And I know it's Halloween and people are out there doing their Halloween thing. I'm not a big Halloween fan. I don't know. I'm just not. I kind of keep things simple. And I don't know. I know Halloween's a big and popular holiday. It, you know, brings in the bucks. I think, was it a second holiday to Christmas or something? I think, you know, bringing it retail-wise. It's crazy. All right. Well, let's talk about gallbladders because a lot of you out there seem to have issues and want to know what you can do. About 20 million Americans, you know, if they just don't do anything and they just ignore the signs, and before you know it, they're in the doctor's office, and before you know it after that, they're getting prepped for surgery. So let's talk about sick gallbladders and what we can do. According to medical science, the older we get, the more likely we're going to have gallstones and a gallbladder attack. So women, 3 times more likely than men to get the gallstone thing going, and more women than men have their gallbladders removed. What are the symptoms? Well, if you've had a gallbladder attack, you know what that is. It's real trouble. You know you have a problem if you have persistent indigestion, when you eat meals and you're using a lot of antacids. If you get a lot of gas or bloating, burping, belching, pretty common after meals, but does not have to accompany a meal. These are very common indicators that their problem is a brewing. So if you have digestive discomfort following a high-fat meal, and as time goes on, this condition continues unrelated to fat intake, you definitely have a gallbladder issue. The gallbladder condition usually progresses to constant tenderness and discomfort with or without food intake. And it's usually located under the rib cage on the right side, but it can also produce some discomfort over your shoulder and down your back. So gallbladder attacks can last a few minutes to hours. It can also produce nausea and vomiting. So let's look at some of the causes. What could be causing the gallbladder discomfort and for it to malfunction? Well, the formation of the gallstones actually congests this gland we call the bladder, and they can get stuck in the bile duct. The gallstones are formed from a combination of bile, bilirubin, which is this brownish-yellowish substance produced when the liver breaks down old red blood cells. And there may be some calcium and cholesterol in there, too. So the gallstones formed pretty much because of our Western diet. 90% of the stones consist of cholesterol. So gallstones can also be detected by having an ultrasound. The liver and the gallbladder, these are organs that work in tandem together, and they can affect the health of each other. So the liver will filter waste particulates to the bile salts and send it to the gallbladder. So a small hollow pear-shaped pouch under your liver holds this liquid, and this is what we call the gallbladder. So the bile that the gallbladder produces, we call it gall, is stored there in the gallbladder, which also extracts water and concentrates of bile, and it becomes this green, alkaline, corrosive kind of liquid. So when we eat fat, and then that travels to the small intestine, it triggers a hormone to release, to let the gallbladder, to notify the gallbladder to release this bile through a muscle contraction to help that bile will dissolve the fat. So the bile is similar to, let's say, detergent breaking down fat molecules. So if you have a sick gallbladder, that can't manufacture the bile adequately. And so when you eat a fatty meal, your system has a problem. Also, if you drink soda, it tends to extract more calcium from your bones, and this can just be displaced in calcium and create more stones in the gallbladder or in your kidneys, which can also be a problem. Sometimes you can also get bone spurs from that. So your diet, more than any other element, can be the deciding factor in the health of your gallbladder. So let's see if you're going to be at high risk of developing a gallbladder problem. There are some individuals that are more prone than others. There are some contributing factors that can make you in the higher risk category, such as if you're overweight, if you have a rapid weight loss, if you're taking artificial estrogen, hormone drugs, if you're taking birth control medications, or menopausal drugs. These all produce a concentration of cholesterol in the bile. And also if you're diabetic and over the age of 40 and female, and if you take high blood pressure and cholesterol medicine, well, then you're also in the high risk category. Check your family history, see if there's any gallbladder disease there. Also, if you tend to be dieting a lot on low calorie diets, or if you're eating on the other end of the spectrum, high saturated fat foods, and a lot of refined foods with lots of sugar and salt, this can also contribute to a gallbladder disease issue. Also, that Atkins diet, which was all high protein, I think, that also contributes, unfortunately, to gallbladder issues. Sluggish bowel, if you tend to be on the constipated side, if you got a chronic inflammatory diseases of the bowel, like Crohn's disease, colitis, irritable bowel syndrome, that kind of thing, you're also going to be putting your gallbladder at risk, because this is where the gallbladder purges toxins to. And if you have a bowel that's congested, it's not going to be able to do that. Also, if you have chronic heartburn and you're just, you know, living on antacids, this also will contribute to making your gallbladder sick. Well, let's look at some of the complications. According to the American Cancer Society, about 8,700 people have gallbladder disease, and it turns into gallbladder cancer. So statistics show that Native Americans in New Mexico have five times more likely the risk to develop cancer of the gallbladder. It's usually the high-fat diet, see, and compared to Caucasians. So gallbladder cancer rarely produces symptoms in the early stages and is usually diagnosed when the gallbladder is removed for gallstone attacks, you know, gallbladder attacks. So inflammation of the gallbladder may be caused by a bacterial infection, which may have or not have stones there as well. And this is a cholecystitis. A condition. So if the ultrasound is showing no stones, then the medical treatment usually is they prescribe antispasmodics to relax the contractions that the gallbladder is going through, and some laxatives. But let's talk about some diet changes. This is going to be real important for you. Change in the lifestyle will help prevent the development of gallstones. So eating more raw vegetables, which contain more live enzymes and proteins, tend to discourage the formation of gallstones. There was this study done over in the United Kingdom where women who ate a vegetarian diet and they cut their risk of developing gallstones in half. Harvard also did a larger study of 88,000 women, middle-aged females, who were of normal weight. They increased their intake of vegetables, thereby decreasing their likelihood of getting gallstones by 30% to 40%. Then they did another study with animals, feeding them vegetable and soy protein, and that also blocked the formation of gallstones. So they reduced the saturation of the cholesterol in the bile. That's what that did. So there's lots of the studies out there that tested vegetables and soy proteins appear to also dissolve existing gallstones. So make sure your soy is not genetically modified, though. So let's talk about the gallbladder vampire, since it is Halloween. So if you want to scare away the gallbladder vampire, you won't have to wear a bunch of garlic around your neck, no. Women who eat more nuts, beans, lentils, peas, lima beans, and oranges have a higher resistance to gallbladder attacks. This was a Harvard study, and it stated that very moderate consumption also of alcohol offered a 40% reduction of gallstones being formed. So they were saying moderate was like a half a glass of wine or half a glass of beer or just a little bit of whiskey, for instance, not a whole lot. These were significant and sufficient amounts of alcohol that decrease the subject's protection, likelihood of developing gallstones. Now, according to Dr. Malcolm McClure of Harvard, a little alcohol helps break down the cholesterol to reduce the formation of the gallstones. It also appears that whole grains and vegetable fiber help protect you from gallstones, whereas a typical low-fiber, sugar-rich diet will promote gallstones. Also a British study and a University of the Netherlands study tested coffee, and they found that coffee makes the gallbladder contract and spasm, and it can promote a gallbladder attack. So you want to be careful there. A Dutch study confirmed this, and it was as little as a half a cup of coffee. Didn't matter if it was regular or decaf, had sugar, didn't have sugar, had cream, didn't have cream, didn't matter. It makes the gallbladder contract. So researchers think that coffee can actually trigger the intestinal hormone to signal the gallbladder to contract to release bile. So if you are prone to developing gallstones, avoid the types of beverages like coffee. Scientists at the National Institute of Diabetes also found that individuals who fasted more than 8 hours overnight and skipped breakfast had a higher risk of developing gallstones. According to Dr. James Everhart, fasting does not stimulate the gallbladder bile to reduce cholesterol, and so he recommends you not skip breakfast or fast for long periods of time. Also, obese women were also in the high-risk category, 6 times more likely, according to a Harvard study, to develop gallstones. Just 10 pounds overweight puts you in that risk category, so you need to exercise and watch that. So let's talk about getting you some additional help. Obviously, your diet's going to be your biggest ally, keeping the gallbladder healthy and avoiding the development of gallstones. Now, if you think you may have gallstones and you want to get rid of them, you may want to do a gallbladder flush, and there's a way to do that, and there's a way to do it safely. So if you're interested in learning how to do that, the folks at Apothecary Herbs will be able to assist you. It's going to use their barberry bark and their milk thistle, and they send you instruction sheets on how to do that flush at home, and it's not complicated at all. If you don't have stones, but you do want to cleanse the gallbladder along with the liver, there is a step-down cleanse that you can use with a combo tincture and their liver detox tea. So you have some choices there on how you want to cleanse and get rid of the gallstones and keep that gallbladder functioning, because that gallbladder takes a lot of waste material, because the blood will filter through the liver, and the liver will cleanse the blood, neutralize pathogens, and get rid of the dead blood cells, and it all goes to the gallbladder. It's kind of a trap, if you will. And then it's got to be all cleansed out through the duodenum to leave the body through the bowel and urinary. So it's important to do your organ cleansing to keep those elimination channels open so you don't have backlog of waste creating, giving disease a foothold. So it's important to do that. And your cleanses aren't very expensive at all. Quality cleanses, you can do them efficiently in a short amount of time, and they're not going to break the bank. So this is really preventative health care, like I believe God intended for you. All right, we got some time, so we're going to talk about pH, how you can balance your pH. You and I are what are known by medical science and as bioelectrical entities. Did you know that? That's how sometimes we're referred to, us human people. So, our body, basically they're saying our metabolism is like an engine. So on a cellular level, our organs communicate through chemicals and electrical pulses. These pulses work on an electromagnetic current. So your nerves are in reality electrical charges on a conduit fiber. So what creates this electricity? Well, it's based on a delicate balance of your biochemistry and your blood system, your saliva, other fluids in your system, and, of course, your pH. Well, let's get down to some of the brass tacks about this. Your pH, there's differences between your acid and alkalinity in your system. Science measures it on a scale of 1 to 14, with 1 being extremely acid and 14 being extremely alkaline. So neutral, according to medicine, is a pH reading of about 7. Now, all living things, including plants and animals, require a pH reading of between 5.5 to 8 in order to maintain health and to avoid sickness. Let's talk about an imbalance. So what happens when living things develop an imbalance with their pH in either extreme, acidic or alkaline? Whether you are too acidic or alkaline, there is a great risk of tissue damage, and then there could be a loss of function. So I heard on radio there was an ad for a new prescription, but the pharmaceutical company didn't want to call it a drug. It was being presented as a natural remedy, a probiotic for irritable bowel syndrome. Yet you needed a doctor's prescription to buy it. So the new drug was called Digestive Advantage, and it is being marketed as a medical food. So you want to keep in mind that prescription medications can disrupt pH in a skinny minute, okay? So there are two areas of the human body that can withstand higher acidity than the rest of the body, and these areas are designed to deal with acids. That's your stomach and your kidneys. So how do you become too acidic? Well, what you eat will be the single most important influence on your pH. So if you eat meat and potatoes a lot, all the cooked food sources, this creates an overabundance of acid. So this lifestyle will begin to deplete your sodium, potassium, calcium, and magnesium, along with your other acid neutralizing chemicals designed to prevent tissue damage. Also, this diet does not replace these protective elements, and therefore disease can quickly follow. All right, how do you become too alkaline? Well, again, the diet, that delicate pH balance. If you're eating foods that encourage your system to become too alkaline, this will severely disrupt the digestive function. Alkalinity will disrupt the balance of flora, good digestive bacteria, and allow for an overgrowth of yeast. So this is going to interfere with your ability to assimilate foods and convert protein to amino acids, which provide energy to your cells. So disease can quickly follow, and you may get a diagnosis of, let's say, chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia. So a diet rich in white flour, carbohydrates, refined sugar, and dairy products can make you too alkaline. Well, let's talk about your body a little bit more. A lot of effort goes into maintaining that pH level of 7.35 in your bloodstream. Okay, so if your diet or other influences alters this level in either direction by 1 or 2 points, it affects the electrical chemistry as well in your body. So this is dangerous because it can interfere actually with your red blood cells delivering oxygen through the body, or your energy level can plummet, and this can even cause death. There's this suggestion from Rockins. He's a homeopathic, Victor Rockins. He had a method of eating foods to adjust your pH in the body. So he recommended 6 servings of vegetables, 2 servings of fruit, and 1 serving of a starch, and 1 serving of a protein. So this diet works for the people of the Mediterranean and the Asian continents who have almost no risk of cardiovascular disease or cancer. So this lifestyle will also offer you an 80% alkalinity and a 20% acidity in the system. So the acids come from the starch and protein foods, and the alkalinity from the vegetables and fruits. Now, it's recommended to pair 1 starch with several vegetables at one meal, and pair 1 protein with several vegetables at another meal, and having some fruit in between as a snack. So if you follow this eating style, you will be able to maintain an 80-20 ratio of alkalinity to acidity in the blood system. So just remember, though, 60% of your food should be raw every day. Okay, this diet is it's going to help you to keep you from getting your cells too acidic or alkaline. Also help you maintain a healthy weight. Now, the average American still goes by that old food pyramid, which recommends eating, you know, just 1 vegetable, 1 protein, 2 starches kind of thing. You want to keep in mind that most restaurant menus mimic this food pyramid in an exaggerated portion size, and that doesn't include the appetizers. So the protein portion most people eat per meal is 2 to 3 times what they should be eating, and they're eating, that eating habit favors acidity. And by the way, herbs are alkaline according to Dr. Bernard Jensen. So herbs are cool. You can go with the herbs. So basically, you know, you just need a little food revival in your lifestyle. America definitely needs a food revival. So we just need to adjust things and be conscious of how our body's reacting. And, you know, we have the power already to stay healthy and well. So, everything you do from, you know, what you drink, what you eat, you know, how you're sleeping, how you're working, your stress level, all have an impact, as you know, on your health. So if you are sick, you know, balancing your pH is really going to be an important part of your recovery. Juices are helpful in accomplishing this. You just use a pint of juice per day, and you can also juice in between meals if you want. So some juice examples that are helpful in regards to certain ailments, like if you have arthritis, you might want to juice more celery and parsley into your juice. Put that in there. If you have blood pressure problems, parsley, cayenne, and garlic should be in your juice. If you have colitis and gas problems, coconut milk and carrot juice. If you have eczema, carrot, celery, and lemon should be in your juicing regimen. You just want some general cleansing, and you want something that will be in your juice to help you with that, I like to use celery, parsley, spinach, and carrot. And if you're overweight and you're trying to maintain a healthy weight, you might want to juice some beet greens, parsley, and celery together, and add that, and, you know, just, you know, spruce up a V8 or something. But if you need help, if you want to cleanse, if you want to help your system balance the pH, there's some cleansing products and some immune-boosting products that may be helpful to you at the powerherbs.com website. If you're just not sure what you need, you can always email or call. Their toll-free number at Apothecary Herbs is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. But if you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277, or just visit the website, thepowerherbs.com, because that's where your healthcare options just became endless. Well, I'm almost out of time, but I want to encourage you, if you want to continue with your health quest and information, and it's free, it's not going to cost you anything, you can sign up for the American Survival or the Health Quest newsletter, or both of them if you want, at thepowerherbs.com. You got to have email to get it, and they go out each week. American Survival goes out on Tuesday, and the Health Quest goes out on Friday. So you have time to sign up for the Health Quest. It'll go out tomorrow, and you'll also, since you're a subscriber, get special discounts to use at the powerherbs.com website, and you can save sometimes, you know, up to 25% off on some of the specials there. So right now they do have a 15% off code, which I'll share with you since you're a listener tonight, and you can write this down. It's THKG 13, and you can plug that into your shopping cart or use that when you call in an order, or write that on your order form, and you'll save 15%. Gotta go, folks, and you be careful out there with Halloween. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.